well. Can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise? He is worthy. Let's pray and get started. Father, I love you today and ask that you would just birth your word in our heart. Lord, may we remove the cares of this life and learn to trust you more. And I just ask that you be with us, strengthen us, and not only let us be hearers of the word, but become doers of your word. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, if you think back to the old horse and buggy days, what a time. I always said I was born in the wrong time. Had to have been some fun to have been born in the horse and buggy days, wouldn't it? Today, life moves so fast at Mach 10. I don't even know if it's that slow. Moves pretty quick. I wasn't around when they invented the telegraph. But when the telegraph came out, can you imagine what everybody thought, especially the townspeople that needed to get a message from this town to the next town? And at the speed of light, with a man sitting there going, don't laugh at what I'm saying. I mean it. I don't know what I just said either, but it's funny. But the telegraph, how it changed things. You could get a message not only from one town to the next, but from another state to the next. Just like that. Man, what the thoughts must have been in the people's minds when that came out. And you could, then came the telephone. And boy, when the telephone came out, man, now we don't have to go to a man that knows how to do that thing. We can pick it up and talk to him. And do y'all remember the two-party line? If you don't remember the two-party line, you're not getting mail from AARP. The two-party line, I'll never forget. My grandma was on a two-party line with a little neighbor lady right down the hill, and on Sunday, you could forget using the telephone. She stayed on it all day. If you went and picked it up, the first time I did that, I hollered, "Granny, there's somebody on the phone." She said, "Hang it up, it's Pat." I said, "Well, I don't want to hang up on her." And then the lady on the other end of the phone said, "Hang it up, I'm not talking to you." The two-party line. But now, today, as we look at all the tools the entire world has at its disposal, we can literally get a message to anyone, anywhere, anytime through social media, Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, TikTok. Don't ask me how to use it because I don't know nothing about it. But it exists. And you can't just get a message. You can put your face in the message. You can send any message you want to send. And parents, I do hope if your kids use them, those tools, that you monitor what goes on, because there's a lot of things in those tools that are after our children. But it surprises me with all the tools we have at our disposal to get a message out, so few use it for the gospel. With all the technology we have, it's amazing to see and the messages that even we hear that distract us from the great things God has for us. Did y'all ever hear the expression when I was a kid? There was when I was a little kid, 5, 6 years old, it didn't do to tell Frankie what somebody's getting for Christmas. I'd let you know. My grandpa got my granny 2 big old boxes, and they were wrapped and sitting on the back porch. Big old boxes. And I asked them, what was it? I asked my Aunt Rhonda, what is that? She said, "Daddy, Don't you tell Frankie what that is. He'll tell Mama before supper's ready. And I hit the side of it. And it, you know, when you hit the washer and you hit the side of, there's a washing machine, and I hit the side of that thing and it went bong. And I, right then, I went and run and told Granny. I said, "I know what you getting for Christmas." And Granny said, "You do?" I said, "Yeah, it's in that big old box on the back porch." She said, "What is it?" I said, "It's a drum." But did you ever hear the expression, "They're about to bust the gut to tell it"? Well, I was that kid. And some people get things in their ears and they just bust the gut to tell it. What I want to share with you today, and I want you to turn with me to Acts, the second chapter. And I'm going to start in verse 38 here. You can follow with me on the big screen. It says, "Then Peter said to them, 'Repent.'" And I want you to understand, repent ain't a prayer. Repent is a new direction. "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call." What God has given us, and we should be busting a gut to tell it. We don't need to know about Him. We need a relationship with Him, and we need to be strong in that relationship. And the only way to be strong in that relationship is to have an encounter with Him on a daily basis. And that's what happened in the New Testament church. And this, I love what the writer says here. He says, in verse 39, "For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call." We've got a promise from the throne room of God. A promise that we need to be standing on. And the only way we can experience that promise is in the relationship we have with Jesus. Verse 40 says, "And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, 'Be saved from this perverse generation.'" That means a generation with no direction. And when we look at our culture today, we got a generation with no direction. Every way they want to go is the right way. Proverbs says there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Friend, when God has done something awesome in your life and delivered you from something, you get this feeling inside that you just got to bust the gut to tell somebody about the awesomeness of Jesus. A healing from cancer. We've seen God do great and mighty things in this house. But when we get that word, it is not for us to harbor and to keep it a secret till some big day. That's what the New Testament church done. They went out and they were sharing and they were magnifying God because of the great things He had done in their life. They didn't have technology of Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, all the things, and a telegraph, a telephone. They had a mouth, they had a heart that God had changed and done a great work inside of them. And they were expressing that. And as they did this, many were added to the church. And I want to go on here and read. "And with many other words," in verse 40, "he testified and exhorted them, saying, 'Be saved from this perverse generation.' Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day 3,000 souls were added to them." Let me tell you something. We want to get a word out. It's got to be real to you. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." That's in Genesis. "In the beginning was the Word, the living Word." That is Jesus Christ Himself. What's He done in your life? What's He done for you? What's He done for you lately? There used to be a commercial. What's it done for you lately? Man, I can tell you great things God has done. And at the end of this service, I'm going to share more great things my God has done. But Peter didn't have technology to get a word out. He had a group of people that was on fire for Jesus. And what we need today is a fire burning inside of us that's been kindled by the power of Almighty God that transforms lives for His glory. What God does for us is not for our glory, but it's to give Him glory. And that's what Peter and them were doing. And this is the same Peter that wound up betraying Jesus on the day of His crucifixion. Jesus told him, He said, before the rooster crows, you'll deny Me three times. He said, oh no, not Me. I'll die with you. And when the heat got turned up, that Peter, this Peter, that's saying these things, betrayed Jesus three times because he couldn't stand it. They all the disciples, scattered like a covey of quail. Peter shared his experience, his belief, and look what happened. 5,000 were added to him, and he didn't need technology, just a relationship with Jesus. When we are filled by the Holy Ghost, the potential that is in us is endless. We don't have a secret we need to keep. Don't tell Frankie, he'll tell everybody. God ain't put in you a secret for you to keep. God has put in you a word for His kingdom. And if we will share His kingdom, God's work will be done. I want you to look with me in John chapter 17. This is the longest prayer ever recorded, but I'm just going to read part of it. I'm going to read starting verse 20. Jesus said this, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who believe in Me through their word. That's what Peter had experienced, is belief had come alive. Belief is this. The word believe, everybody can say, well, yeah, I believe. Believe is translated to totally rely on Him. He's all I got. I don't know about y'all, but He's all I got. Through all of these storms, and we see damage happen to our possessions. Was your spirit man damaged? Whew. Hello. But let me tell you what damages the spirit man is when we harbor the great things God's done inside of us and we don't share it. That's what harbors the spirit man. Because out, and I'm going to jump ahead of myself, but I'm driving. Y'all, I'm buying the gas. Y'all ride with me, okay? Out of our belly should flow rivers of living water. Whew. I'm praying that the dam breaks. Whew. Because God is wanting to draw people to Him. Not by Frankie's word, but by your word. What's He done for you lately? Have you shared it with somebody? Have you expressed the goodness of God? The goodness of God is to be experienced, because Jesus said this. He said in verse 20 again, I do not pray for these alone, but for those who believe in Me through their word. Their word. We don't have something we need to keep. Verse 21 says that they all may be one as You, Father, are in Me and I in You, that they also may be one in Us. Do you see what Jesus wanted? We don't have to run, and I feel sorry for the people that serve Buddha. He's in a glass case. I'm going to tell y'all this story about when I went over to Myanmar. I wanted to know their testimony. They bring you over there. They preached me 6 hours one day. Would not, I'd sit down, and then they're like, no, come back. You. I'm like, really? Yes. And 6 hours we stayed at church that day. I was exhausted. But at the end, I said, I want to know their stories. And this young lady, things are very different in a third world country. This young lady, her husband had left her, kicked her. Well, what he done, he sold the house one day while she was out. He sold their house. He took the money and run. She was homeless like that. No recourse, no political, no judicial system, no system to fight for her in that. It's just over. You don't have a home no more. She had three children. So her and her children was on the street. She had a son that was 17 years old that had moved way north in the country to go work a job. And she just wound up wandering the street, and she was going to every god. She was going to the Buddhist, the Hindu, the palm readers, the mediums, everybody searching for some god to be real with her. I want you to get that part. I want it to settle in your mind. She was looking for some god to be real with her. She winds up south in Yangon. And while she was in Yangon, she run into Misai's people, our church people there. And every day that Misai and his people wake up, they hit the streets to go share Jesus with somebody, because that's all they have to do. They don't have a job. They can't have a job. And so they hit the streets and go share the gospel. Well, Misai talked to me on the phone, and he said, "We need $150 to build a house for a lady." And I'm like, what now? How are you going to build a house for $150? He said, "Oh, it's very easy." So me and Laurie took off. We sent $150, and he sent me in a day and a half. He said, "We built the house for the lady." I'm like, "You built a house in 36 hours? How you?" I said, "Misa, how you build a house? Send me a picture of this house." Bamboo stuck in the ground, bamboo, tarps pulled around it, and tea leaves over the top for a roof. That was a house. And Tata A was the young lady's name that moved in that house. And she was started leaning toward Jesus because nobody else had done anything like that for her in her life. And she was leaning toward Jesus, yet she's still running to Buddha. She's still running to Him. She's still wanting some God to be real with me. And so she's telling me, the women that's working with her, "Pray for my son. He don't know where I'm at. I don't know where he is at. I don't have a way to get him a message. My son and I will never see him again. He is 17. He moved north for a job. I need y'all to pray for my son. I need you to pray for me and my son." So this goes on for months, and they're praying for his son. And then one day in the village, the ladies of the village, Tatae was kind of the little banny rooster. She had that attitude. She kept everybody in line. She walked in an authoritative way. And so they said, "Some stealers," they don't call them thieves like we do, "but some stealers are in the village. There's a group of stealers in the village. You must come and run them off." And so Tatae goes over, and she gets with them, and she goes marching down through there, and there's a bunch of people behind her, and she's marching down through there, and she's getting on to them, and the closer she got to them, she recognized one of them. And it was her son. He did not come to find her. But there in that village, they wind up face to face. And Tatae went to her knees and washed that boy's feet with her tears, and praised Jesus, because only Jesus could do this. Only Jesus could bring me my son to this place. He had no idea that that was his mother coming. She had no idea that that was her son she was going to. And so she goes inside. She had her a Buddha. And what you do with Buddha, he's in a little aquarium, upside down aquarium, and people just sit there and bow at him all day. I don't get it. I don't know much about Buddhism. Don't want to know. I just know he ain't real. I just know if you want to spend time with Buddha, you got to go get him. I want you to know if you want to spend time with Jesus, all you got to do is call on his name. And if you call on his name, he is there. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will go before you. I will not be behind you. I will be all around you. That is the kind of Jesus that we serve. And Tata A went in her little house that we had built, and she got Buddha in that glass case and brought him out and busted him on the railroad track. And when she did, the village turned on her. All the people that loved the lady turned on her because she busted their God. You have to understand, it's 3% Christian. It is 94% Buddhism. A tick of Hindu. And so everybody turned on Tata A, and she wound up going to jail because she busted Buddha. And Misai had to go get her out of jail. You know what they done? They evaluated her mental capacity. I guess that's what they want to do with all Christians, even in America today. Evaluate our mental capacity. Well, I'm going to tell y'all something. His name is Jesus. And no matter where they put me, he will go with me. No matter what they try to pull out of me, he will speak through me. In him alone will I trust, and I won't bow to nothing else but the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We better gain the heart of the three Hebrew children and say, O King, we will not bow to your ways or to your God, but we will bow only to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we better gain that. And when Misai got Tata A out of jail, he takes her home and he talks to her and he says, you can't do that no more. You don't act that way, Tata A. And Tata A gets up. Remember, she's the one that walks in authority. She said, no! You don't tell me not to praise him. You told me praise him. Now you tell me don't praise him. What's wrong with you? You showed me Jesus. Jesus brought me my son, and I'm going to praise him. I don't care what they do to me. You need, and she's telling her preacher, you need to learn to praise him this way. Don't tell me shut up. He is my Lord. And this is what happened. This is what Jesus is praying, that we would be one together. I'm going to tell you right now, friend, it don't matter what this world deals to you, what kind of storm is coming, what kind of spiritual storm is coming, he is the one that will say, peace be still in the storm. His name is Jesus. He promised to never leave me nor forsake me. And on that I stand. And this is what he says here in verse 23. He says, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one. Mature. That's what the word perfect means. I get sick of hearing Christians say, I can't be perfect. No, you can't. That's why Jesus died on a cross. But he was perfect. And he is still perfect. So don't put him in your life and lessen your life. Here's what's wrong with the church. We don't walk with conviction anymore. What is conviction? I don't think the church in America today understands what sin is anymore. You can't put God in your sin. Boy, y'all got quiet on me now. You better get over yourself. I got to be real honest with you. You better get over who you are, because you were called by Jesus to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow him. Put away your ways. Your ways are not his ways. His ways are not your ways, but when you surrender to him, your ways will change, because greater is he that's in you, not on you. He is inside of you, working in you to do for his good. Good pleasure. But there's no conviction in the church anymore. It's why so much sin is in the church. He is coming back for a church that has made herself ready. And I'm going to tell y'all, I'm going to make a bold statement to you. There's going to be many left sitting, not only in this church, but in churches all around this nation, still having what they call church when he's done called his church home. Preacher, you mean. If you don't become one, if you ain't hungry for Jesus, you got to look, let's go back to Peter. Peter wasn't hungry, but when they put Jesus on the cross, he wasn't hungry. So he took off running. He's over there warming his hands by the fire. And the people says, hey, that's one of them right there. He said, whoa, not me. I wasn't with him. And then somebody else recognized him, said, yep, that's one of them right there. He was with him. Oh, no, not me. The third time, he cursed him. What the peep, 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 peep. I want me. Want to look like the world. No conviction. No conviction. But the Peter that wrote what I just read to you in the book of Acts had a transformation take place in the heart, and then the mouth couldn't shut up. He was about to bust a gut to tell somebody about the awesomeness of Jesus. He didn't need technology to tell people about the awesomeness of Jesus. And people were so hungry for something that was real and for something that was powerful till 5,000 were added to them as the Lord saw fit. 5,000. Come on, give him a hand clap of praise. So do we have a responsibility as a believer? You better believe we have a responsibility to give the King of Kings and Lord of Lords praise for what he done in my life. But what happens in the church is we look at everybody else's life. I got to get down here with y'all. We want to get with everybody else and tell them how upside down they are instead of changing who we are in the power of Jesus. You, God didn't come to make you more fancy. God came to live inside of you. Jesus came to possess you. He came to get every bit of the old out of you and put a new man in you by the Spirit of Almighty God. And that's what we're to walk in. He said, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. I'm not my own anymore. I've been bought with a price, and it's Jesus that I will serve. Come on. Y'all bear with me now. Ain't God good? Now I'm going to read this one to you. John chapter 7. This is where I got a little ahead of myself a while ago. Now we're going to put it in reverse and back up a little bit. Verse 37. On the last day, that great day of the feast of Jesus, of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes, what did I say the word believe is? Totally rely on him. What you relying on? Self, the storm messed me up too much to praise the Lord. The storm tore up my stuff. Have you thought about Jesus through the storm? Friend, there's a storm brewing in this nation that ain't coming in the air. There's a storm brewing in this nation to destroy, make you, get you totally away from your belief, just like it did Peter. But there's a God that loved that Peter enough that he kept stirring on the inside. There's a storm brewing on the inside. And that storm is going to put so much in him that the dam is going to break. The dam is going to bust. And out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. I don't want your life to be a pond. You know what a pond does? Grows mosquitoes. You ever seen a river grow mosquitoes? Can't do it. It's always moving. Fresh water, fresh water. You ever thought about that? The Mississippi River? That joker don't ever run dry. That's fresh water every day. What's flowing out of you should be fresh every day. We should not be stagnant, stale, set in our ways and not flowing. It is the Spirit of Almighty God that is in us, and Jesus said it right here. He who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. I'm telling you, God wants to move in us. But then he said in verse 39, but this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. It's the Spirit that you will live by. It's the Spirit that will speak through you. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. I believe the spiritual dam is going to bust in this world. And his living water is going to flow out of people like we have never seen before. With 8 billion people on this earth, we can see a spiritual flood take place. I want to share this with you in Isaiah, coming to a close. I'm going to ask Kit and them to come on. Isaiah 55, verse 6. He says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord. Conviction has got to return to the church. You can't live your life your way and not have a relationship, because the Spirit of God changes a man. You don't have to change. I want to encourage you. I don't want you to change. I want to see the Spirit of God change you. Hello. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him and our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Verse 8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down, y'all don't want me to mention rain, but I'm praying for a spiritual rain. For as the rain comes down and the snow from the heavens and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth a bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. God wants to use your mouth to speak his word. That's what he done in the book of Acts. That's what he done in the New Testament church. That's why 5,000 people were added. Let me tell you something. The fire that you can cause to burn can bring glory to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He said, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the things for which I sent it. God is wanting to do a great and mighty work, and I want you to know this today. I don't care how upside down your life is, what you've done in your past, God wants to take your life and use it for his glory. Take the story of Tatae and listen to what God done in that lady's life. While she's talking to all these other gods, Jesus was there to pardon her and to bring her son. That is a miraculous, and this girl, when she told me that story, could not tell it without tears. And I mean, with authority, she spoke the truth of God. And it's for them things that I'm thankful I got to hear. Y'all stand with me. Where are you in life today? What do you need from the Lord? I ask you, if you want to pray, come on. Right now, all over this room, come on. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Turn to him. Trust in him. And God will direct your path. All over this room, if you need prayer this morning, come on down here. Go ahead, brothers. Mm-hmm.